The Katra Podcast, conversations for the curious essential knowledge, simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome to the deep dive. Today we're tackling something, well, massive. We're trying to condense about 4.5 billion years of our planet's history into a single conversation.
Yeah, no small feat. We're diving into Jan Zelisevich's brilliant book, Geology. A very short introduction.
And, you know, if you think geology is just dusty rocks in museums.
Oh, definitely not.
Yeah.
Zelisevich completely reframes it. He argues it's not just about stuff, about materials.
Yeah.
It's the ultimate historical science.
The ultimate historical science.
Yeah, think of it like the Earth's autobiography. 4.5 billion years long, written layer by painstaking layer. It's all there.
Okay, I like that. So our mission today, for you listening, is to get what Zelisevich calls geological literacy. And this isn't just, like, academic trivia.
No, not at all. Understanding these incredibly ancient processes is suddenly really critical. Because, well, humanity isn't just watching anymore, are we?
Exactly. We're players now.
Big players. That's the real tension in the book, isn't it? The story of the deep past gives us the context for our, let's call it, precarious present.
Precarious is a good word. We've become this powerful geological force ourselves in just a couple of centuries.
A genuinely potent force, potentially disruptive, even dangerous. We're changing the planet's fundamental systems.
So we absolutely need to understand the scale of the system we're messing with.
Precisely.
So, okay, who is this guide taking us through this colossal timescale? Our author is Jan Zelisevich. He's a British geologist, a paleontologist, and professor of paleobiology at the University of Leicester.
And his specific field is super important here. He's an expert in stratigraphy.
Stratigraphy. Okay, break that down.
It's the science of reading rock layers, basically deciphering the history that's embedded right there in the Earth's crust, chronologically.
So if the Earth is a book,
he's the one teaching us how to read that ancient language, page by page, layer by layer.
Right. But what makes him, you know, uniquely relevant now is that he didn't just stick to the ancient past.
Exactly. He was chair of the Anthropocene Working Group.
Okay. And that's the group looking into whether we've actually started a new geological epoch, right? Defined by human impact.
That's the one. It's a huge scientific debate. So he has this incredible dual perspective.
He bridges the super deep academic rigor, looking back billions of years, with this urgent present-day question, are we now writing the next chapter of Earth's history?
And he's brilliant at translating this complex science. You see it in his other books, too, like The Earth After Us. He makes these massive ideas compelling and crucially understandable.
So the book itself, Geology, in a very short introduction, what's the core idea?
The central premise is really about perspective shift. He wants us to ditch this idea of Earth as just static, you know, the unchanging backdrop for human drama.
Right, the stage.
Exactly. He replaces that with this picture of a vibrant, incredibly dynamic, and frankly critical planetary system. He wants to spark that sense of geological wonder.
And the journey he takes us on in the book.
It's really well structured. It starts with the basics, the planet's anatomy. You've got the crust we lit on, thin and brittle, then the huge, slowly churning mantle underneath, and the core right at the center. But the key thing isn't the structure, it's the motion.
The motion, okay.
Yeah, that perpetual transformation. He talks about the rock cycle, calls it a slow motion planetary metabolism.
I love that phrase, planetary metabolism.
Isn't it great? It captures how stone is never static. Igneous rocks from volcanoes erode, become sediments, get buried, squeezed, heated into metamorphic rock.
It can melt again. It's constantly recycling.
Over millions and millions of years. And this whole narrative builds up step by step.
Until it hits you with the big one.
Deep time. Yeah. It forces you to confront this almost incomprehensible scale of planetary existence.
And that really puts human history in its place, doesn't it?
Completely humbling. And that sets the stage perfectly for his final, really powerful argument about where we are now.
Which is the Anthropocene.
Right. He lays out the evidence systematically. Our plastics everywhere. The sheer scale of concrete structures, the way we've fundamentally altered cycles like carbon and nitrogen.
He argues this leaves a permanent mark.
A permanent, globally distinct signature in the rock record right now. It's synchronous across the planet.
So we're not just, like, living through history.
We are literally making geology. Creating the strata that future geologists, if there are any, will study.
Okay, let's unpack some of the details then. The engine driving all this change, Plate tectonics, you mentioned it's the unifying theory.
Absolutely. It's the grand theory of modern geology. If the planet's a system, this is the main machinery running underneath.
The engine of the Earth, as you put it.
That's it. Picture the Earth's outer shell. The lithosphere, not as solid, but like a cracked eggshell.
Okay.
It's broken into these big, rigid plates, and they're floating, moving incredibly slowly, on a softer, sort of semi-molten layer below the asthenosphere.
That slow movement causes, well, pretty much everything we see on the surface.
Almost all the major geological activity, yeah. Earthquakes, volcanoes, mountain ranges. It all comes back to the plates moving.
So what happens where these plates meet? The boundaries.
Right, that's where the action is. You get different types. Where plates pull apart, those are divergent boundaries.
Like the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, creating new ocean floor.
Exactly. New crust is formed there. Mm. But when they collide, that's where you get the really dramatic stuff. Mm. Convergent boundaries.
And that's mountain building.
Often, yeah. One plate usually slides under the other's subduction, and that crumples the crust, pushing up huge ranges like the Himalayas or the Andes. Intense pressure.
And the third type?
Is where they just grind past each other sideways, transform boundaries.
Like the San Andreas Fault in California.
That's the classic example. Lots of earthquakes along those boundaries. It's this constant, slow, incredibly powerful churn.
It explains so much why continents look like they fit together.
Pangaea. Yeah, they were once all joined up. Plate tectonics moved them apart.
Okay, so the plates are moving, the engine's running. How do we read the history book? The archive, that's stratigraphy, your field.
Well, Zalasevich's field mainly, but yeah. How do we read the layers? He walks us through it like a geological detective.
So sedimentary rocks are the pages.
Mostly, yeah. Sandstone, shale, limestone, they build up layer by layer. The key starting principle from way back with Steno is superposition.
Oldest at the bottom, youngest at the top.
Generally, yes.
Yeah.
Unless the rocks have been folded or faulted, which happens a lot, the history book gets crumpled.
So how do you correlate layers? How do you know a layer here matches one, say, across the ocean?
Ah, that's where fossils come in. They're crucial time markers.
Like index fossils.
Exactly. You find a specific short-lived type of fossil, like a particular trilobite species in rocks, in whales.
Uh-huh.
And then you find the same trilobite in rocks in Newfoundland.
Hmm.
You know, those rock layers were formed at the same geological time.
Even though they're now thousands of miles apart.
Precisely. Fossils let you correlate the pages across the globe. It's amazing detective work.
And all this layering, all this correlating, it builds up this picture of...
deep time. The concept that just kind of blows your mind. The Earth is 4.54 billion years old.
It's almost impossible to really grasp. He uses that analogy, right? Compressing it into 24 hours.
Yeah, it's a classic way to try and get a handle on it. If Earth's history is one day.
Life appears quite early, relatively speaking, like 4 a.m.
Something like that. Single-celled life. Complex life much later. Dinosaurs maybe don't even show up until, what, 10:30 p.m.?
And humans, modern humans.
We arrive in the last few seconds before midnight. Maybe the last second or two.
Yeah, incredibly brief. Does that perspective, that brevity, mean our problems don't really matter in the grand scheme?
That's a common reaction, but Zalasevich argues strongly against it. The value of deep time isn't to make us feel insignificant.
Okay.
It's to highlight the rate of change we're causing now. The Earth has seen massive changes before, yes, but usually over millions of years.
We're doing it in centuries, decades even.
Exactly. The speed is unprecedented in the geological record for many of these changes. That's the crucial insight.
And it's not just the physical planet changing. The book talks about life's role too, doesn't it? Chapter 8, The Coevolution of Life and Earth.
Yes, this is vital. Life wasn't just a passenger along for the ride. Life has profoundly reshaped the planet.
As much as the planet shaped life.
Absolutely. It's a two-way street. The classic example he gives is the Great Oxidation Event.
Right, when oxygen first built up in the atmosphere.
Yeah, billions of years ago, early microbes, cyanobacteria, started producing oxygen as waste through photosynthesis.
And that changed everything.
Fundamentally, it rusted the iron out of the oceans, created the ozone layer, allowed for oxygen-breathing life like us. But it also likely caused a mass extinction of the early life that couldn't handle oxygen.
So life itself was a geological force back then, too.
A massive one. Geology drives life. Life drives geology. It's all one deeply interconnected system.
Okay, that feels like a good point to maybe synthesize some of the big takeaways. What are the core messages you get from developing this geological consciousness?
I think there are three main ones that really stand out. First, obviously, is deep time.
That perspective shift. Humbling makes you think long term.
Essential. Second is seeing the Earth as an interconnected system.
The rocks, the air, the water, the life lithosphere, atmosphere, hydrosphere, biosphere, they're all linked.
Profoundly. You tweak one part, say, with massive volcanic eruptions changing the atmosphere.
That affects climate, which affects oceans, which affects life, which eventually gets recorded in the rocks.
Exactly. It's all feedback loops. You can't isolate these things.
And the third takeaway, the big one for us now,
has to be the Anthropocene, the realization that humanity isn't just in the system anymore. We've become a primary geological force.
A disruptive force, altering those planetary systems at that unprecedented speed we talked about.
Yes, we're actively changing the planetary metabolism now.
And that systemic view, understanding those connections, it's just critical for tackling modern challenges, isn't it?
Absolutely. Things like climate change, biodiversity loss, resource management. You can't understand them properly without seeing them through this long-term, interconnected geological lens.
We're pushing the system faster than it can naturally respond or buffer.
That seems to be the case. We're operating outside the historical bounds of the system in many ways.
Zalasiewicz has such a knack for phrasing these huge ideas memorably. Did any particular lines or ways he put things stick with you?
Oh, definitely. The book is full of them. We picked out three that really encapsulate key themes.
Okay, what's the first one?
It captures that deep time perspective beautifully. The story of our planet is written in the rocks. Humanity's chapter so far is but a single explosive sentence on the final page.
Wow. Single explosive sentence. That really lands. Highlights the brevity, but also the intensity of our impact.
Right. And the second one nails the meaning of the Anthropocene. We are actively creating the strata that future geologists will study. Our cities are our fossils. Our plastics are guide minerals.
That makes it so tangible. It's not abstract. Our buildings, our waste. That is the next rock layer, the techno-fossil layer.
Exactly, our geological signature. And the third one challenges our everyday perception of landscapes. A mountain is not a symbol of permanence, but a temporary phase in an endless cycle of creation and destruction.
So even the Himalayas are just temporary blips.
In geological time, yes. Mm. Part of that slow-motion planetary metabolism, the rock cycle. Constantly being built up, constantly being worn down. Nothing is truly static.
So bringing this down to Earth, literally, what does this geological thinking mean for us, for you listening in everyday life? How is it practical?
Well, on a personal level, applying that deep time lens can be surprisingly calming, maybe.
How so?
It puts everyday stresses and anxieties into a much larger context, billions of years, and encourages a longer-term perspective on what really matters.
That makes sense. And it changes how you see the world around you.
Absolutely. Landscape appreciation completely transforms. A simple road cutting becomes a window into history.
Or a mountain hike isn't just exercise.
It's a journey through millions, maybe billions of years.
Mm.
Seeing the layers, the folds. You start reading the landscape like pages in that Earth autobiography. The Grand Canyon becomes 2 billion years stacked up.
That's incredible. And beyond personal perspective.
Well, hugely important for policy and planning. Understanding seismic risks from plate tectonics for building codes.
Right. Knowing where it's safe to build. Understanding erosion for coastal management.
Managing resources, too.
Yeah.
Knowing how long it took the Earth to concentrate deposits of metals or fossil fuels gives you a real sense of their finite nature.
We're using them up in geological milliseconds.
Pretty much. It just boosts overall scientific literacy, too. Seeing how ideas like continental drift went from being ridiculed to becoming central science, it shows the scientific method in action over decades.
So, summing up then, what's the final most important takeaway for you?
For me, it's the sheer power of gaining this geological consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Realizing the ground isn't just ground. It's this dynamic, eloquent archive telling an incredible story. We need to learn its language.
Yeah, I agree. What really struck me was that shift you mentioned earlier from seeing Earth as a backdrop to realizing we are now the authors.
The primary authors of the next chapter.
Right. Whether we like it or not, the book feels like an essential guide to becoming responsible planetary citizens, understanding the consequences of our actions on a geological scale.
It really does. It carries that weight of responsibility.
And maybe a final thought to leave people with. Thinking about places like the Burgess Shale, with those incredibly weird and wonderful fossils from the Cambrian explosion.
Uh-huh. Shows how unpredictable the history of life has been.
Exactly. So it makes you wonder, if we're creating this entirely new techno-fossil layer, this human-made stratum, what kind of strange, perhaps unimaginable forms of life might eventually evolve to adapt and thrive within that layer long after we're gone?
Ooh, That's a fascinating, slightly unnerving thought. What comes next? Adapted to our geological signature.
Something to ponder.
Definitely.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.